Barbara King is an anthropologist who spent decades studying the behavior of monkeys and apes. She loves animals, not just those in the wild, but also the many pets she and her husband live with at home. She told Steve Paulson that human and animal history is so intertwined it's hard to imagine one species without the other. You might say we co-evolved. In her book, Being with Animals, King makes the case that the history of religion is also bound up with our long history with animals. For example, she points to the ancient cave paintings in France and Spain.
Chavet Cave is a bear cave. There's something like 2,500 bear bones in it. The walls are absolutely covered with paintings and images. And what's the subject of those images? Animals. You know, we see lion and horse, rhino and mammoth. But what's even more interesting is a hybrid buffalo woman image. On the walls of Chavet, there's a creature that has legs, hips, and a pelvic area of a woman, but the head and chest of a buffalo. What's so amazing about that to me is that it's clearly symbolic. Here's a creature that our ancestors could not have seen in the world. What does it mean? We don't know, but it's some kind of a transformation, a human-animal mix. And this indicates that our ancestors were thinking in very imaginative ways about animals.
Well, and it sounds like they had some sort of religious significance to our ancestors.
That's a very fraught question. Anthropologists disagree very strongly on that question. Some people wish to draw an analogy with present-day shamanism. And we know that in present-day cultures, shamans do feel that they transform into other animals. So there may or there may not be a way to read these images as some kind of incipient religious technique. I'm a little bit skeptical of doing that because I fear that it allows us too readily to project what we know of the present back into the past, and that's always a very risky game.
Well, isn't there also evidence, burial evidence, that animals were somehow part of the burial ceremony? And this, again, goes back tens of thousands of years.
The animal burials that I'm familiar with are not necessarily quite that old, unless you're counting something like Neanderthal burials. I mean, in this case, you don't have the animal buried with the Neanderthal, but rather bones taken from animal skeletons buried as grave goods with Neanderthals. So, for example, 60,000 years ago, there's a very striking grave site in which bear bones are buried with individual Neanderthals. Much later, perhaps 8,000 to 10,000 years ago, there is burial of people with whole animals. A very striking example comes from Çatalhöyük in Turkey, and this happened about 8,000 years ago. By this time, people were no longer living as hunter-gatherers off the land, but were living in villages and settled down. Archaeologists found a man buried together with a lamb in a very interesting location under a house floor where human ancestors were traditionally buried. So the man's skull had been crushed. He was buried with a bird bone, a flint object, and an entire lamb. To the archaeologists and to me as well, this hints at probably something spiritual, certainly something emotional.
There is the suggestion, not proven, but the suggestion that somehow animals are involved in our thinking about transcendence. Certainly when you talk about life after death questions, the belief that some piece of us lives on, somehow animals figure into that as well.
They do, and we know, at least we infer at this time, that the human brain is very much engaged with thinking about the mysteries of life and death.
Well, and in your book, you make the case that the history of religion is in fact intertwined with the history of animal-human relationships.
What is so striking to me is that animals, too, you know, experience birth and being adolescents and growing old and facing death. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we're assuming animals have a concept of death, but we know that they do feel when their partners and their companions die. They feel sad. They feel grief.
Well, and there actually is some fascinating anecdotal evidence that at least a few animals might have some concept of death. Maybe that's too strongly put, or certainly an understanding of death. I mean, there are some stories about elephants, for instance, that when they come across the bones of other elephants, they seem to have a very strong visceral reaction.
They do have a strong visceral reaction. As a scientist, I do want to be a little bit conservative. I don't know if there's a concept of death. But let me describe a little bit what we have seen. I was lucky enough to do my doctoral research in Amboseli National Park in Kenya. In the same national park, there was then and is now a long-term elephant research project. And one of the best animal behaviorists I know is Cynthia Moss, someone who spent a lot of time watching elephants in the field, so she's a very keen observer and a reliable scientist. She has seen that if elephants are walking across the plain and they notice clusters of bones that are old from dead elephants, they will divert their party as they're traveling along and come up and caress certain sets of bones. They'd caress bones that Cynthia knows are bones of relatives of the individuals who are walking across the plain. So here you have matriarchs and their daughters and aunts and grandmothers and some males, a family of elephants who come upon bones and recognize them, who meant something to them, whom they loved. And they do not do this with just any random set of bones, elephant or otherwise. It is very shocking, really, to scientists to think that elephants feel that they want to behave in such a way as to honor the bones. One more observation of Cynthia's is quite relevant. At one point, she noticed a family that was beginning to pick up and put over top of a recently deceased elephant material, you know, grass and leaves and a little bit of dirt, covering up the body. In the middle of this incident, there was a low-flying plane that came over and disrupted the elephants so that they left. They were frightened and they left. She asks if they were actually having some sort of a death ritual in covering up this body, and we don't know the answer.
Wow, that's really evocative. And it's always dangerous to put human responses onto the world of animals, but one can't help but speculate that maybe there are some proto-religious behaviors going on here.
I feel comfortable saying that elephants feel grief. I feel comfortable saying that there may be proto-rituals going on. I feel less comfortable with importing the word religion. I don't know how we would know that. And I think it's astonishing enough to suggest that there's some kind of organized ritual going on. So that wows me quite a bit.
Well, let me put you on the spot here. Maybe this requires you to take off your scientist cap for a moment and respond as an animal lover, which I know you are. Do you think animals have souls?
I have no idea if animals have souls, because what I'm interested in most is understanding that they have deep emotional connections to each other, deep ability to feel pain and to feel joy. And it's an interesting theological question whether they have souls. In fact, Pope John Paul says they do. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist thinker, thinks they do. And I read them and I'm interested in their views, but I'm really working at the level of animal emotion.
Well, it seems to me that the larger question that we're getting at is whether there is something sacred about nature. Not just that the natural world is beautiful or wonderful, but that perhaps there's some spark of divinity in nature, however you want to define that. Is this meaningful to you, this line of thinking?
It is meaningful to me to think about nature in a framework of spirituality as opposed to a framework of religion. And you earlier used the phrase transcendence, and I'm often asked if I have a sense of spirituality when I'm with animals. It might help to point out that I have studied monkeys and apes for many decades, and also that my husband and I are very involved with cat rescue for the last 4 or 5 years.
Don't you have a lot of animals that live with you?
Oh, a lot would cover it, yeah. We live with 7 cats indoors. We have 2 that live in our yard. 11 more live in a very spacious pen that my husband built in our backyard with trees and shelters and places for them to hide and play. And we daily feed 7 more at a nearby feral colony. So if my math is right, that's what, 28. So yeah. And, you know, I sort of joke about this because do I feel a sense of spirituality? Well, you know, we're cleaning litter boxes and spay neutering and running around and making sure everybody's getting along and not fighting. And so on a day-to-day level, it's a lot of work. It's not exactly as if I'm going around in a state of heightened grace. But yes, there is at times an incredibly powerful feeling of connection that I get with animals that does spill over into grace and self-transcendence. I find it almost challenging to describe in words.
What would you see as the dream scientific experiments that would perhaps resolve some of these questions that we're talking about, whether it's animal emotions, maybe even animal spiritual lives?
All right. If I were to dream, Steve, and if only the MacArthur Foundation were listening, I would say that I would travel to multiple continents in the wild and film multiple species. I'd have to be there for a long time and be very patient, but so that I could see animal communities' response to death and building up a databank of what animals are doing. We know the hints from the grief that chimpanzees express, the grief that elephants express, both in captivity in the wild, and by the way, birds as well. There's something very, very interesting going on here, but it's such a rare event to be around when an animal dies and the other animals are responding. I think this has a very deep potential for opening us up on the questions that you raised.
Barbara King, talking with Steve Paulson. King is an anthropologist at the College of William and Mary. Her book is called Being with Animals.